Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April 30th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 154. We're going to be unpacking paragraph 2 today, which begins with, one dismal afternoon, he paced a hotel lobby and ends with, would have a lonely weekend. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry S., the 12 Traditions, Karen W., and reading the text and support today is Dion R., Mo H., Maria F., Penny C. We'll be taking names from newcomers and sponsors today and get their telephone information, so have pen and paper handy for that. And Robin P. will end us out here with some fantastic announcements here at A Vision for You. The share ID numbers for yesterday, that would be April 29th, Wednesday, 14528, 14,528. And then we had a meeting this morning, so the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting has a share ID associated with that one too, and that one is 14534, 14,534. That would be for Thursday, April 30th, 2020, 7 a.m. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry S. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry S., recovered food addict in Bend, Oregon. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And blessings to everyone, and thank you for letting me do service.
Thanks a million, Terry S., and for your loyal service this month. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W. From Long Island, New York, a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And it was great to be part of Team Thursday for the month of April, and I wish everybody a great day. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks so much for your dedicated service, too, to this meeting for this month, for sure. Hope you all are sticking around. Okay, so let's continue. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. But we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And please take note, this is a star 1 key function only on your phone as a means of muting, because technology then will be disconnected. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 154, and we're going to unpack paragraph 1 today. So turn your books over to that particular page. And I'm going to ask Dion R. to open up this meeting this morning by reading that paragraph and commenting on her experience, strength, and hope with utilizing the directions in that paragraph. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Melvin. Melody, how are you? Hi guys, I'm Dion R. As Melanie just said, a recovered compulsive overeater from an seemingly hopeless state of mind and body I used to be in on a regular basis. One dismal afternoon, he paced the hotel lobby wondering how his bill was to be paid. At one end of the room stood a glass-covered directory of local churches. Down the lobby, a door opened into an attractive bar. He could see the gay crowd inside, and there he would find companionship and relief. Unless he took some drinks, he might not have the courage to scrape an acquaintance and would have a lonely weekend. Oh, wow. Ah, my God, it just brought back the thoughts of and celebrating, you know, and I'm becoming the ripe old age of getting older this weekend. And I said, and the thought came to me, which hadn't come in a long time. That's why I know HP got me here for a reason. Because I was thinking like, something I haven't thought in a long time was a sugar-free dessert. And I don't eat those. And I haven't for years. I'm not for people who do, but I just don't, because it's not nutritional for me and my condition right now. But anyway, I thought of that, and I was like, oh, where'd that come from? It's just like a using dream or something I may have had. So that let me know that I was like, oh, my God, I got to work with us. I got to get right back in the middle of the program, and knew I need to get back to being of maximum service to the best of my ability because I'm still human. But those thoughts will come when you get that fork in the road. It's like, oh, my God, do I go this way or that way? And naturally, I'm not saying it's every day because I'm working a spiritual program and I work 10, 11, and 12 on a regular basis, especially that prayer and meditation. Oh, my goodness. And it's like I automatically say, you know, I play the tape. Like he said, he said he might not have the courage, you know, and it would be a lonely weekend. It's like he's going right back down that foxhole. And that, you know, kind of centered around my mind, I guess because all the, you know, the anniversaries of deaths and stuff coming up and all that stuff. And, you know, and then my birth. So it's just like, yeah. I can hear it. I can feel those things. But I know this for me is my higher power or even my disease saying, hey, you know, just reminding me I need to get right back in the middle of the program because there's a time and place when they said, the power must come, the only power you will receive is from a higher power. You know, I would love to stay spiritually fit, you know, and because of those reasons. And I wanted the program to be around in case my great-great-granddaughter, so I don't have any that no great-great, but you never know. Anyone who would need it, even just a newcomer, I want us to be here and pure, like Melly was saying earlier. You know, we share what was freely given to us. And I share what was freely given to me out of these first 164 pages just that way. And therefore, I don't have a lot of work to do. Just pass on what was freely given to me. And with that, today I'm going to do my best to make the best choice I can. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share today, guys.
Thank you so much, Dion R. Appreciate that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Although we do value your experience, strength, and hope on sharing on these paragraphs, we ask that if you've shared in the last 3 days on this phone meeting or any of the other Vision for You phone meetings, that you would step back, please, and let others that don't share very regularly an opportunity to be able to share today. So the last 3 days, if this will be the fourth day, we'd love to hear from you. If not, step back, please. And if I'll take the first name and the first initial of your last name, and we'll get a lineup going here this morning.
Janice P.
F. Roz G.
Something, just before you, Roz, somebody S.
I said Rebecca F.
Rebecca S. or F. Oh, F, there you are. Now I get the voice. Now I got you. It's, and then
George.
Somebody E. George E.
Yes.
Gotcha, thanks. I'll take two more if you're up to it. Folks that haven't shared in the last 3 days?
Porter W.
Walter W.
Porter, P-O-R-T-E-R.
Porter. P-O-R-T-E-R. Nice to meet you. Thanks, Porter. Anybody else?
Hannah L.
Okay, I'll get you Hannah. And did I hear Heather too?
Patty T.
I think I got my line up just now, Patty. I thought I heard a Heather just before you too. We'll get you on the next round, okay? Thanks. So I have Janice PM, Rebecca F, Roz G, George E, Porter, and I didn't get your last initial, but that'll be good. Okay, so let's get started with Janice PM. Good morning, Janice. Again,
well,
hi there.
Yeah. Hi there, Melanie. This is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. It's dismal. I couldn't get it out quick enough because it's very dismal here, and we've had a lot of dismal days here on the East Coast. But anyway, it was dismal. And, you know, what a nice excuse that I used to have, or a reason, whatever you want to call it. On a dismal day, it's a good day to stay in, especially if it's rainy. And, you know, I know what would make me happy at the time when I was active would be something nice and sweet, you know, and it would help me for a little bit. And then, of course, you know, I'd be off to the races. Well, I remember this hotel lobby that Bill was in because I was there in Ohio. And, you know, I can still see it. There's a big winding staircase, and he must have come down from those stairs. You can just picture it. And on the left, I think that was the bar. And on the right was the church. There's the little church chapel there. And then right outside of the door in the chapel was a phone booth. Of course, I don't know if it was there in 1935, or, you know, when he 39 when he was there. But anyway, it was right outside the chapel. And, you know, he had a choice to make. He's a recovered alcoholic at this time. And, you know, even though we are recovered with the gift of obsession of the mind removed for the day, it does come back a little desire, especially if things are going wrong in our life, because, you know, things still too happen. Life still goes on. Death happens, this happens, everything happens. But when we're recovered, what he did that I can identify with is he made a decision. And it was a hard decision. But you see, now he's not relying on himself, his own self-sufficiency. He made a decision. Do I go to the left where I see everybody having fun, or do I go to the right and make that telephone call? For who? To keep himself sober. And that's the call that we always hear about to Henrietta, Dr. Bob's wife. So he made the right decision. Thank God Bill did. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janice PM. Rebecca F., you're up next, and then Roz G. will follow you.
This is Rebecca F. Did you call me, Melanie?
I did. Good morning to you.
Thank you. I was unmuting. I'm Rebecca F. from Connecticut, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I'm just thinking about how I might have been like Bill in that I thought that eating with acquaintances who I didn't know at all and wouldn't wind up getting to know would be something that might make me feel better. And instead, I chose to work this program, and I now have people in my life who, somebody's unmuted, are so much more meaningful to me than people I would have met for an evening in a bar and drank with in some far-off place. So that no matter where I go with the use of the phone and Zoom and these meetings, I have connections that are so much better than any acquaintances I could have had when I was in the food. And I've learned how to say I love you, which I would never have known how to do before and mean it. And I've learned how to hear I love you, and I wouldn't have known what to do with that before. I guess in part because I've learned to love myself and gotten in touch with a higher power who I realize is pure love. And all that is so much better than any happenstance, acquaintance, good time that I might have pursued before. Pass.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Appreciate that. Next up is Roz G., and then George E. will follow you.
Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, and I'm out on a walk, so you may hear a little background noise. Well, I'd like to say in this share this morning, this current share for me, is that I've had two friends pass away from cancer during this quarantine. Both of them were friends of mine. I spent quality time with in church. Both ladies, both died of cancer. And, you know, there hasn't been a funeral for them. And both of them knew where their destination was. So their deaths were, you know, joyous, if I may say that. So, you know, as a compulsive overeater, I look for ease and comfort, you know, in situations where my feelings are really raw. And when I, you know, heard of their deaths, my feelings were raw. And yesterday I had my last therapy session due to this work, Due to the fourth steps and fifth step work and sponsorship, it was recommended and suggested that I seek therapy, which I did. And my therapist and I decided that I was doing so well that it would end. And I felt sad about that too. So yesterday was just a big pile of melancholy. But you know, it's because I'm abstinent. Because I'm abstinent, I'm feeling these feelings. And I don't have to turn to food. And I even said it to myself, food's not the answer, Roz. The answer is God, your higher power, your loving, kind, sweet, generous, compassionate, curious about me with a sense of humor, higher power, who guides me to meetings, to YouTube talks, you know, to the Zoom now, thank God for that. And there, I mean, if everywhere, we know there's everywhere there's a meeting, faces to see, people to help. And then last night I listened to an inventory. So, you know, I can still feel, and I'm so grateful for that, because if I was piling in the food, I wouldn't be feeling anything but anger, resentment, jealousy, and envy. But now I can feel compassion, sadness for friends that have lost, and happiness and joy. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz. George E., you're up next, and then Porter will follow you. Good morning, George.
Hi, it's George E., recovering food addict from Cincinnati, Ohio. Thank you for calling on me. I really appreciate the reading. I guess like the previous speaker, I identify with the feelings in the sense that, you know, I've been that guy. I've been in a strange town, in a strange motel, in a strange hotel on a Friday afternoon. Business is going really crappy. What am I going to do? How am I going to fight the loneliness? Or, like I said earlier in the chapter, the despair, the, you know, depression, you know, what am I going to do? And it isn't just turning left or turning right. It's how can I be whole? How can I fill that void? You know, that spiritual lacking, even though I don't know anybody. You know, Bill went to that wall, that glass-covered thing with the list of churches, and he started calling around, and he didn't even get a response from the first one. I'm a kind of a history buff on the program, and I'm not sure, and I don't mean to just crosstalk, but I'm not sure Henrietta was Bob's wife. I think she was one of the tire baron's wives. I can't remember which one, but then, of course, they were friends. So it was kind of a, you know, Bill calls the church talks to Henrietta, Henrietta calls him back. Then, and I can't remember her name now. It's in the book, Passing On. But then she called Bob's wife, who I guess was Harriet? I don't remember. But, you know, it's such an amazing, amazing string of, it can't be coincidence. And one of my favorite things I heard in the rooms was, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous, you know. And if I can only work on my relationship with God, I can stay abstinent. I can learn to be abstinent. Let's put it that way. And thank you for letting me share. Thank you for calling on me. And to be honest, I couldn't remember whether I talked Monday or Tuesday. So if I shared too much, I'm sorry. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Thank you, George E. Very much. Okay, Porter, you're up next. If you give the first initial or last name, that would be helpful for me. And then Hannah, you'll follow Porter. Star one, Porter. Give you a real quick second here. Would you press star one, Porter? Then you'll be able to be heard. If not, we'll slide into Hannah.
Hi, good morning. I'm Porter W. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. This is I think my second or third time at this meeting. I'm on my way back in from relapse, and last week was a tough week, mostly just accepting that I screwed up, and I screwed up bad. But I managed to get 24 hours of abstinence under my belt, and the clarity started to show up, as I remember from years and years ago. And I lost that. Looks like I've got it back as of today. But uniquely, I was able to figure out how I lost it, which is not something that I really remember. And at the end of the day, it just all comes down to fear. That's what I'm really discovering. I'm 57 years old, and I'm still discovering this. Fear and shame. And I had a very, very bizarre situation. I have sterling credit, and I keep a lot of large credit cards open in case of a rainy day, in case of an emergency, in case of anything like that. And I just so... because of the mistakes earlier in my life, I'm so aware of where all that is. And I got a note that literally, I'll just say the amount, like $20,000 had been closed down on one of my credit lines, which didn't even have a dime on it, by Citibank. And I panicked to no end. I didn't need the money. I don't need the money. There was nothing wrong, but clearly the bank is combing through clients who have opened to buy because of fear of COVID, and they're shutting down credit lines. It's unbelievable. But I cannot tell you the tailspin that sent me in. I have money in the bank. I have a pension. But it was that feeling that I will not be okay. I am not okay. I'm not safe. I'm widowed. I can't take care of myself. No one's going to take care of me. No one's going to find the body. No one's going to know. And I just went right down that rat hole so fast I couldn't believe it. And I ate, I guess if you qualify it, not that bad, but it was, for me, it's not really what I eat in my abstinence, it's how I eat it and the quantity that I eat. And for that reason, you know, I had to get honest and say I've lost my abstinence. But fast forward 2 days later, 3 days later, I just randomly click onto that email. And there it says, your account has been reinstated. And I am like, what
time
is going on? So back to my higher power I went. Out of the food I am, clear and abstinent. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Porter. Hannah, you're going to be up next, but I wanted to remind people that we are sharing from the Big Book today on a particular paragraph. We're on paragraph 2 on page 154. We want to share about our experience, strength, and hope on that particular paragraph. Stay and raise our focus on that today, please. And Hannah, you're go up next. And then after you, we're going to see if we can't grab about 5 more after you have shared. So it's your turn now.
Hi, my name is Hannah. I am a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. I hopped on the line a little bit late, so I didn't really get time to prepare ahead of time, but I heard someone share before that, you know, it's really my higher power that keeps me abstinent, and that's really how I got abstinent in the first place, especially, you know, that's important, that connection during a time like this. You know, while we're in quarantine, while we're at home and really, you know, just keeping connection with other fellows and that kind of thing, because if I were to, like, be free of this before, like, I wouldn't really, like, if I could do this on my own, I shouldn't need this, but that wasn't apparent. You know, I couldn't do this on my own. I couldn't stop eating compulsively. So, yeah, that reliance on the higher power is really key for me. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Hannah. Okay, the lines are open to share on paragraph 2. On page 154, we're going to unpack that one today. It starts with one dismal afternoon and ends with have a lonely weekend. We're going to pull out the directions.
Karen K.
That are in that.
Debbie F.
Just a second. Hey, ladies, just
Leslie
give me one second. Hang on, ladies. I'll get back to you. I wanted to finish wrapping up what I was saying here. I want to make sure that we're staying focused on our paragraph today so that we can learn what the directions are for recovery from that. And I have Patty T. first. And so then let's go slowly from there.
Debbie F.
I had many
Anne Marie M.
I got you, Anne Marie, so you will have a chance to step back now. And I have Patty T. first. And then give me the third name, please.
Debbie F. Karen.
Reggie.
K.
I heard Karen K. first. And then who did I hear?
Reggie O.
I know that delay helps us not see what we're doing and who we're stepping on top of. I'm sorry about that, but we're going to try to work this out. Reggie, I gotcha.
Connie T.
Connie T.
Reva B.
Reva B, like boy?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see if I can take one more.
Leslie M.
Luna.
Okay, Leslie, I'll grab you up there. Thanks. Okay, this is what I have. I have Patty T, Anne-Marie M, and everybody else, press a real quick star one there. You might not know that you're unmuted. Patty T, Anne-Marie M, Karen K, Reggie O, Connie T, Reva B, like boy, and Leslie M. Okay, great. Anne-Marie M, you got at the top of the list because I couldn't wade through that menagerie. Good morning.
It's Anne-Marie M. I am so surprised. I didn't think you could hear me. And then I realized that I must have said it more than 10 times, so I apologize. This is Anne-Marie M., recovered through God's grace, a compulsive overeater. And what I see in this last sentence of this paragraph is the twist of the mind. Unless he took some drinks, he might not have the courage to scrape an acquaintance and would have to have a lonely weekend. I mean, that's the thought that goes through my head. I have a different scenario or justification for why I should have just one bite because it'll make me feel good. I don't know if I've ever, I'm just thinking about this right now. I don't think I've ever compulsively ate because I wanted I was hungry or I thought it might taste good. For me, it's always been, I want to feel better. And here he is, the twist of his mind is saying he might be lonely. Who wants to be lonely? You know, a drink would help that for him. You know, one bite was never ever a bite for me. It was never one bite. I had to have more because once I got that substance in my body, the allergy kicked in, which was craving more. That was my allergy. I don't break out in hives. I break out by craving more and more and more. So it was never, ever one bite. And there is a solution. It says the, therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. And so I don't know, I just wanted to point that out. That's what I saw here was, you know, the twist of the mind and the justifications. It just brought back some justifications for me why I thought I could get away with something or just have one or I don't even care anymore. I'm just going to eat, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, that's about all I have to say. Melanie, thank you so much for your service. I appreciate what you do, but I think I appreciate you more. Have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Appreciate that. Patty T., you're up next. I made a mistake. I'm apologizing for that. It involved you, which you were supposed to be first, and I made a mistake. I'm so sorry about that. But you're now, okay?
Okay. That's fine.
And then,
fine,
and then Karen K. will follow you.
Okay, great. Hi, everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California. And, you know, looking at this paragraph, it just reminds me how the character defect of fear ran my life and could today, okay, because I always have a choice. I always have a choice of allowing fear of financial insecurity, fear of people, fear of connection, all of those things that I used to use the food to give me. Okay, it was false, of course. It was a false evidence appearing real, but it's it was the thing I went to. I went to the food because I was afraid I didn't have enough money for it. Okay. I went to the food because I didn't know how to enter a room of people that I didn't know well or not at all and engage. I went to the food because I was terrified of other people judging me because I was judging them so wholeheartedly. Unless I ate the food, I might not have the courage to strike up a conversation or to share or open myself up to anyone. The food always altered my inhibitions, right? And just like alcohol, until the food damaged my personality, until the food started turning me into like a raging, I don't know what. I mean, it was just, I began to see how the food affected me. And understanding that, you know, he could see the choices. There was the church register and there was the door to the bar. Where was he to go? And that's my, I have the choice today. I didn't always have the ability to choose. Food was my only solution to every issue, from discomfort to life on life's terms, you know. And today I do have that choice. And part of that choice is to pick up the phone and call one of you or call another fellow and open myself up to the power and love of my God. Because many times I hear God through all of you, just like Bill did that day. Thanks so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Karen K., you're up next, and then Reggio will follow you. We'll find out what your crossroads have happened to be in a situation similar to Bill's. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Did you call Karen K.?
I did, yeah. Good morning.
Oh, good. Sorry, I was star warning at the time. I'm sharing for the first time on this with OA Live. I have listened to you periodically. I'm on the Pacific Time and for over a year. And I wanted to share that I am so grateful that Bill made that phone call. I am in another program for 13 years, and I'm fine there. But the last 4 years, I realized that I was an overeater, and so I've been going to OA because I know the 12 steps work. But it really hasn't worked. I couldn't get God into my heart for whatever reason. I couldn't connect. And I just wanted to share that the other day with my counselor, God came into my heart. And I'm telling you, I feel loved by my higher power. I saw the whole fill up with love. And I just wanted to share that because, you know, for those people that struggle, I mean, I'm still struggling. I get 30 days or a few months, and then I go out for one time. But I know that God is behind me now and in me. No, how's this? In me. And that's what I have been praying for and looking for. I had to open myself up to him. And because I was closed off to other people loving me, because, of course, I could handle everything myself. My control and ego got in the way. But that's what I wanted to share with everyone. And I want to thank all those people in Vision, because I listen to you and think, I want what they have. I want that spirituality. I want that feeling of God inside of me. And I have it today. So thank you, everyone. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Karen Kay. Reggie, you're up next with your 3 minutes, then Connie T. will follow you.
Hi, good morning, Mel. Thanks so much for your service. Great to hear you. My name is Reggie O. Grateful to recovered here in the Los Angeles area. Boy, what a paragraph. You know, it just sent me on an exploration this morning, you know, which I do want to share. But At one end of the room, there was one thing, and down the lobby, there was another thing. You know, it's like that, I thought of that threshold experience in Fred's story and more about alcoholism, where he had had a very different business experience than Bill on a business trip, and it was very successful. He knew everybody was going to be pleased. He stood at the threshold of the bar, and he walked into the bar. And had Bill not walked down to the other end of the lobby, Fred, who got recovered after that, would have never been recovered, nor those after him. So that threshold experience, you know, I think, and I've had so many of those in my life in program around food, and and sometimes it's the threshold experience before the one that, you know, do I do this or don't I do this? There are decisions before. So I'm just reminding myself of that. But I saw down, I'm reading from the study edition of the Big Book, and the footnote says that the hotel that he was in was called the Mayflower Hotel. And I thought, that's pretty interesting. So the Mayflower was the ship that brought the first pilgrims over to the New World from Europe, and they were looking for spiritual freedom. They left because they didn't have freedom in where they were coming from, and so they took this very seemingly dangerous voyage to a new country. And when they got there, they got off the ship. Before they got off the ship, they signed a contract that each person was going to be responsible for the greater good of the community, which is our first tradition. And then there was a second Mayflower after the first that continued making the journeys back and forth. So I just thought about that. You know, it's like Bill, here he is in the Mayflower, and in the Mayflower Hotel, and he has a choice to head on down the hall for the freedom or to go back in, you know, to the bondage of the bar, which doesn't seem like it at the time because, of course, you know, he was thinking about the few seconds of that first hit of the drink, you know, and not the dismal, you know, things that happen after. So I just thought it was an amazing, amazing stand-in here for Bill's experience, the experience of the original Mayflower ship. And, you know, he went to the other end of the bar. He chose the spiritual freedom. And because of that, we all get, you know, we all get to do that today. And so I'm very grateful. And it was good to hear everybody share so far this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggio. Up next will be Connie T., followed by Reva B. and Leslie M. I'll give you all 2 minutes, if you don't mind, so we can share the time amongst you, please. Thanks so much. And Connie T., you're up now.
Okay. Thanks, Melanie. This is Connie T., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from South Central Pennsylvania. And what comes to mind when I read this paragraph is that strange mental blank spot that we have and that I, you know, still have. I'm a pickle now. I'm never going to be a cucumber. I am, you know, recovered, gratefully recovered right now. But I still believe that I still have the mental blank spots that can come up. The difference is right now I have a power that covers me in protection from those. That if some crazy idea comes into my mind, the next idea that comes after that is usually the sane one of, yeah, remember what that did. For instance, you know, like if I smell something that, you know, I used to eat or whatever, and I think, oh, that smells good. I'm still not desiring to eat it, but I'm recognizing it smells good. But immediately, and I believe this is my higher power, puts right into my mind, it sure does smell good, and remember what it did to you. And always then that memory of the misery of what it did to me comes to mind right after that. And then I can watch other people enjoy this stuff, and I truly, truly don't want it. I have that neutrality. You know, where the Big Book tells us in More About Alcoholism, you know, it ends that chapter by saying the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. And that's just kind of what that paragraph meant to me, you know, and we'll, as we're probably going to read that while we are, the next paragraph tomorrow, you know, you're going to see where that mental stuff starts going down that road, and then he has to make the choice. And I believe if it was just me, on my own power, I would never, ever make the right choice. But because I have a higher power, who I call God, that protects me, I'm okay, even when those crazy mental blank spots happen. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Connie T. Reva B., you're up for two, and then Leslie P.M. will follow you. Star 1, Reva B.
This is Reva in Brooklyn. I began by telling you that I'm now 85 years old. I am almost 22 years abstinent, and I live a life of gratitude. And I'm telling you that up front because I'm going to share with you something that's painful. And that is this loneliness, this inability to make any connection with anybody. This was before I was even in program. And I was a battered wife. I was about 40 years old. And I couldn't commute. I mean, in those days, 45 years ago, it was not the same world anymore. People understand that they reach out to a battered wife. But at that time, basically, I was shunned. And even my mother wanted me to stay married. And I felt utter despair, not just bitterly disappointed, but I came to a point of utter despair. And in a moment of self-hatred and rage, I took a whole vial of sleeping pills. And my stomach was pumped, not because I did anything to prevent this. I made a very earnest attempt to end it all. And I had two children, and that didn't stop me. And so I was brought back to walk around on the planet that I really tried so hard to escape from. And I really, I went beyond. To say I was at bottom is putting it mildly. And I had no place to turn. So I sat I'm not religious, and I went to synagogue, I'm Jewish, went to synagogue, went to church, went to anywhere people were praying. I went to any place. There were times when I was reading something from a book in a prayer, and I felt it was essential to me, and I stole the prayer book. I couldn't put it down. I couldn't leave it behind. And that went on for about 4 months, and then my husband started to go into high gear. He had been passive for that period of time. And it was incredible because just sitting in the churches and synagogue, yes, I actually went through psychic change. I actually came back as a different person. I was able to cope with everything differently. And I just wanted people to know that I can't believe that I'm here, even now, and reading this paragraph, and I so identify with what God does for us. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Reva B. Leslie M., your 2 minutes start now.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. Appreciate it. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And, I can so identify with being between, really a rock and a hard place, he's looking at one end of the lobby is that bar that looks so wonderful, and the other end of the lobby is the church directory. So, I've been at this point many times in my life, and, I'm very grateful that the last time is that I knew that if I didn't choose program and recovery and do everything that I could, to the best of my ability, that the food was going to be in charge of the rest of my life. And that's when I totally surrendered. But I also realized that not only was I powerless over the food, was that I was also powerless over my thinking. And so my first thought, I know that I'm not responsible for that, but my first thought, is often, in the beginning when I had that realization, I would start laughing at myself if I would tell people I was powerless over my thinking, because I'd think that they probably think I was, weak-willed or, mentally deficient. But I knew what I meant, and I knew that, the first thought is going to take me to the food, and if I allow that to happen, that's my piece in this. I have to stay entirely abstinent. The rest of this is up to my higher power. And gratefully today, I can say that I have the neutrality around the food, and the mental obsession has been removed just one day at a time. I know that I have to continue to do this work. But these choices come up all the time, and I have to remember, you know, where my, how wonderful my life is today and us being recovered. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Leslie. And that will end the sharing portion of our meeting today. Thank you so much to everyone that was in service on in the month of April. I do hope that you continue in service and self-sacrifice to God and others. It's certainly been the lifeblood of the treatment that, for this disease of mine, for sure, and I plan to continue in service as well. So let's get prepared to close the recorded portion of our meeting this morning by reading from page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll follow that up with a serenity prayer. And then we'll continue on for 10 more minutes with greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information. So you might want to have pen and paper handy for that. Mo H., would you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Melanie. And thank you for your service. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.